point, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the June 25th, 2024 meeting of the Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals. We have a full complement this morning, so we have a quorum and we can proceed. This is, for those non-lawyers of you, called a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any appeals to the decision of this board must go to the Superior Court of Chatham County. And I think all persons who want to speak this morning have filled out cards, and I got several of them in my hand. Okay, very good. all right. May we stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag,
and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. I understand we have two petitions ready for hearing this morning, and in just a moment, we're going to remove one. But before we do that, the April 23rd, 2024 board meeting minutes are up for approval. Has everyone had an opportunity to review those minutes? All right. Are there any changes or edits that anyone is suggesting be made?
Mr. Chairman, not hearing any, I move that the minutes be approved.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Voice vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? None. All right. Next item is number one, Brasler Boulevard. Staff is asking that we remove this matter from the final agenda for some reason. I have no opposition to it. Does anyone on the board have any opposition? Any comments? If not, do I hear a motion to remove it from the agenda?
So move.
There's second.
Second.
All right. Voice vote. Remove one Brasler Boulevard from the final agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Okay. The first regular agenda item this morning will be 270 Berwick Boulevard. Variance to increase the maximum allowable height to a proposed development. May we hear from staff, please?
Morning, Mr. Chair, board members. My name is Brad Clement. I'm from Development Services staff here at the MPC. As previously mentioned, this is an application for a variance to allow for an height for multi-unit apartment dwelling units as part of a Berwick master plan development area. It's in a currently vacant site right here. This site, as part of the original master plan, was intended for church use. It was then changed to congregate care. And in 2023, it became changed to apartments, which is what's going forward now. The density for this parcel per the master plan is capped at the county maximum, which is 24 units per acre. The current proposed is 20 units per acre. But again, the variance being sought is not attached to a specific site development plan. What you're seeing here with the exhibits represent a concept plan, how they would align these buildings and location them on the site. That could change. And the current site plan is undergoing review by various county departments right now. And so it is likely to change in some minor way, but not in significant form and certainly not in units. There's only so many that can fit on this parcel, which is 12.9 acres, by the way. So that 20 dwelling units per acre puts you at about 240 dwelling units. Of two types, one building being proposed would be 56 feet high. That's a 20-foot increase. That is a variance being sought. The other building type are garden buildings, garden apartments. I'm not sure what that translates to, but it will be gardening. And it's being a 10-foot variance is being sought to increase the height to 46. The county standard in all zoning districts is 36 feet. So when we review applications for height variances, we typically see those in apartment dwellings. That's how they're able to get to the density that had previously been approved. It's just modern construction techniques. I get the impression that there are several people seated behind me that have other issues related to this development that they would like to speak about, not necessarily tied to height. But this application is solely related to the increase in the height to allow for the density as allowed for in the master plan and the county ordinance. Based on that, staff recommends approval of the height variances, as with this board has done several times in the past for construction of this type and other locations throughout the unincorporated area. We do attach some conditions to that because there is not a specific site plan tied to this variance request. Those types of requests would go to the Planning Commission and not the ZBA. But as they're refining that site plan, they're seeking the variance now as a concurrent step to seeking approval of that site plan. So what we've done is we have capped the percentage of buildings tied to the height variances requested to conform to what's being presented in the concept plan. We've also asked that the general orientation of the final site resemble that as presented in their concept plan, where the taller buildings are more to the center of the site, where the lower height buildings are around the edges. This accommodates for obstruction and screening from the nearby residential areas. There are townhomes to the south and single family dwellings to the north, and I'm sure some of those people are seated behind me. I did want to point out one other exhibit here. This is an elevation and a line of sight model provided by the developer. You can see the Stone Bridge home model and the Stone Lake townhomes model, location of the existing vegetative buffers, and then a monster model building representing that 56 feet height increase. Clearly that model does not represent the structure that will be built, but showing the line of sight from ground level through those buffers. You won't be able to see through the windows of the apartments from the adjacent homes, nor will the people in the apartments be able to see through the trees into the backyards of those adjacent homes. So we feel that the obstruction of view has been met with the buffers. And again, so it is staff's approval, recommended approval of the height variances to reach the pre-approved density for this tract and this master plan development. Pending your questions.
Questions from the board?
Yes, sir. Staff. So to narrow the questions here, so we know what we're talking about. The property is already properly zoned for apartments.
That is correct.
And it is the density is also set out in the zoning.
It is capped by the county ordinance and the master plan development document.
Okay. Well, as you've said, we've had a couple of these before, really out in that same area. Is there not any movement in the county commission to amend the zoning ordinance so that we don't have to, you know, sit here and what I would call violated by granting height restriction alternatives rather than just changing the ordinance to allow that to happen?
Discussions have been ongoing with other county departments. It's simply a matter of someone making that request and moving the paper through the county commission and having them approve it. They'll have to look at the standards and how they will apply it. Savannah has several height regulations as it certain density of development, certain locations, and there's overlay districts. Counties will probably not be that complicated, but they will need some type of formula, and that takes time.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the board? Can someone point out this little cemetery that I read about? Where?
There was a study done based on a report of a cemetery on the premises. The state came out and did the research and determined that there was not a cemetery, that there were gravestones that had been moved and placed on to the parcel. There was a news story to the effect of cemetery discovered on the site that got a lot of attention. Apparently, the media did not follow up with the story that turned out not to be the case. But it is in the southern wetland portion of the property, and it is not currently part of the site plan that I have seen or any that have previously been submitted.
I saw reference to some sort of wall or buffer around the cemetery. So is that off the table now?
In the staff exhibits folder, you'll see the document from the state reference the cemetery and its alleged location and where it was. But there is no wall part of this plan. But again, we don't have a specific site plan in my hand to tell you what will be.
Understood. Just wanted to know what my parameters of decision-making are this morning and what should be under consideration, of course. All right. Who is here to speak for the petitioner this morning, please?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair, Josh Gillen here today on behalf of Flournoy Development, who is the project applicant. We do have with us Mr. Charlie Sabin from Flournoy, along with Stephen Jean and Felipe Toledo from Thomas & Hutton, who is the project architects. First and foremost, we do want
Josh.
My apologies. Not notice that. Thank you. That's much better. First and foremost, I do want to thank Mr. Clement and ZBA staff for the recommendation of approval here. As was mentioned by Mr. Clement, this is not a new variance request. This is a very common variance request that has come before this board on numerous occasions and for numerous properties in this area. I can count at least four properties that I personally have handled before this board since 2017. All along Highway 17 or within Berwick, those variants have been approved. They've all been recommended for approval by staff because the 36-foot height limitation on multifamily development is antiquated. It is old. It is not in keeping with modern construction standards. And every single multifamily developer is coming in and looking to do a four-story building. As was also mentioned, the request for the variance, and this needs to be very clearly stated, has nothing to do with an increase in density. Everything about the height variance, about making the building taller, is about developing a better project, both for the community around it and for the residents who will live there. And so what we have found is that there are three key ways that the height variance is warranted. First, and what you'll see on the site plan, is that this site, as it's currently laid out, it's going through site plan review at Chatham County. It's providing approximately 49% open space. Under the county requirements, we are only required to have 20% open space. So we are more than doubling the open space on this project as amenities for the residents. We could certainly come in, shorten the buildings, take up some of that open space. So once again, the height increase has nothing to do with fitting more units in here. It's about open space primarily, which is better. We've seen since COVID that every single apartment and every single renter who's coming to town wants to have green space, wants to have amenity space, wants to have that feeling that it is not an urban development. Second is floor to ceiling heights, that by providing for the increased height of the building, we obviously get taller ceilings for the residents and the units within the building, which isn't a great amenity to have, that people do not want to come in and live in apartments with 8-foot, 9-foot ceilings. We can expand upon that by going above and getting the height variance. Lastly, and very importantly for the context and the surroundings of the area, is that by getting the height variance, and we've seen this before on each and every other project, is that we have the opportunity to come in with pitched roofs. which is important aesthetically for this area. Any developer could come in with a three-story building and a flat roof and make this completely out of context and out of keeping with the nature of the area. By coming in with a pitched roof, we do need that additional height. That height needs the variance, but we're able to design a product that is more in keeping and more aesthetically pleasing and more being in a line with the neighbors. And so do just want to be very clear about all of those reasons why we are coming in to request the height variance. As was mentioned, staff is recommending approval for this height variance. And importantly, one of the reasons that they are recommending the approval is based upon this exhibit, which has to do with the line of sight and the relationship between this property and the surrounding single family homes, and then the townhomes, which on the master plan are also considered multifamily, and how the views line up from the adjacent sites. As can be seen on both sides of the property, and as can actually be seen in the exhibit, this site is currently heavily vegetated. The applicant here is preserving these buffers and maintaining these buffers in their state so that this site and the buildings within it will be very much insulated from the surroundings. This is a natural buffer. On this side, we have 65-foot tall trees on this side, and you can see in here, we have 85-foot tall trees. And in addition, the distance between the buildings, between our largest building and the residence on all sides of the property is well over 100 feet. I think it pushes closer to 200 feet in most areas. And within that 200 feet, as was mentioned, is the buffer areas. Because the question was asked, I do want to mention the gravestones on site, because that might be the elephant in the room here, and I can shed some light and some background on that, that this was not a cemetery of any type. What was found in approximately this location, I want to say, were three gravestones from the Fox family. And the Fox family was the prior owner. This was all Berwick Plantation. They were the prior, I'm going to get my names wrong most likely, but they were the one-time owners of the plantation. They sold it to a family, somehow came back and put the graves on site. There are three of them. What is unique about them is that they are haphazardly laid out. And so part of the report that we received concluded that they might have been placed there at a later date. We are not disputing that. We understand that there are three gravestones on site. They did a ground penetrating radar analysis of the area. There are no other gravestones, no other bodies on site. But the area that does have the three stones is protected by a 25-foot buffer, which is what's recommended by the state. And so that will never be developed upon. It's within the buffer area. It can't be touched. And so we've done the research on that. We found the gravestones. We understand that we can't do anything there. We're not proposing to move or relocate. We are seeking to preserve them in place, however they got there. But to go back to the height variance, we do once again thank staff for the recommendation of approval. This recommendation is in line with the prior four applications that have been handled that have been granted by this board. And we would respectfully request that you approve of the height variance as has been requested by staff. And we are happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right. Questions from the board. Mr. Gellin.
Yes, sir.
Someone, and I don't recall who it was, has a written presentation in opposition to your application. And there's a photograph at the bottom of like page two or three of that presentation showing a very open, undeveloped, non-buffered area between some adjacent townhomes or I'm not sure what you're talking about.
And yes, sir, I believe that that's
the one I'm talking about. Do you have the name, sir?
It wasn't a name on it, but this was the
Is this what you're looking for?
Yes, that's the one.
Yep. And I don't believe that is our property. We haven't taken down any trees or started any land disturbance yet. If we go back, I'm not sure if any of the exhibits are here, but this one will work. I believe that's this property over here, which is connected to the Burwood commercial development with access to Highway 17 Ogeechee. Not our property.
Okay. Is that adjacent property fully developed now?
The one that has,
yes.
That's been clear cut?
Yes.
No, sir. Currently under construction.
I just had a question of curiosity.
Yes.
Given that the height is being driven by the desire for open space and amenities that are supposed to benefit the community, what are some of those that are being planned?
And Felipe, do you want to talk about the amenities and the green space?
All right. Come forward. State your name for the record, please.
Felipe Toledo with Thomason Haddon, civil engineer.
Raise your right hand, please. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Aye, sir.
You have the floor, sir.
As far as your question of the amenity, let me see if I can bring up the site plan. So as far as like the amenities for this community, it will be a clubhouse on the front of the facility, and there will be a pool on it with different amenities like gyms and areas for the residents to use at their pleasure. Now, was your question related to the community outside of this development?
Yes.
No, these are private amenities for the use of this own development.
Okay, thank you.
Up, come back. Don't run away. Tell me about this garden building. What is the difference between it and the four-story apartment that you propose?
As far as I can tell you, because I'm not an architect, but we build the massive model. It's just like a smaller building. It has a little bit density in an apartment. It has holes through it. Passages, but it's not architecturally should conform similarly to the style of the main apartments, but we haven't finalized our architectural.
All right, so that's just a name. It has no.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a name. Correct.
All right. Now, the two-story townhomes that I see on the, let's say, the northern end of this depiction, there are three buildings. Is that buffer also going to be maintained on the northern side?
Yes, there is a buffer on this side of the property that has to be maintained.
Okay. And is that also, I think, Josh, you said 60 feet, was it?
If we go to the site plan, I believe it's two separate 25-foot undisturbed buffers. Well, it actually varies. So if you see.
Okay, excuse me, 25.
So on this side, which faces Stonebridge, it's the 25 and 25 foot buffers.
So a total of 50 there.
Correct. On the other side of the property, there's slightly more. There is a drainage right of way, that was previously county right of way. And so some of them are adjacent. There's a 25 foot one on our side of the property, as you can see. So it's undisturbed 25 foot on our side of the property. There's an additional 25 feet on the other side of the property. So I want to be clear about that it's 50 in total, 25 on our side. On the other side of the property, on the southern boundary, there is the 25-foot buffer also being proposed, but there is significant wetlands on that site, which we are not touching, which provides a natural buffer adjacent to the proposed undisturbed 25-foot buffer.
Now, is there understory under these trees that will be cleared or?
Not within the wetlands. And on the size of the buffer, there might be some enhanced produced as part of our landscape plan.
All right. Now, did I understand staff to say that there were 200 units proposed as opposed to the maximum density?
The maximum density, 24 units. If you multiply that out by the 12.9 acres, it puts you in the 300s. We're not close to that. Obviously, not all of that is buildable area. Okay. But without a site plan in hand, we're counting things that aren't really there. This is notional.
Understood. Any other questions of staff? Nothing? Okay. Have a seat, sir. All right. This is the point at which we ask for citizen comment. I have a number of cards of folks who desire to speak this morning, and I'm just going to call them in the order that they were presented to me. Audrey Lucas, present this morning. Good morning, Miss Lucas. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, sir.
And would you please, for the record, tell us what your address is?
My address is 6 Turning Leaf Court, Savannah, Georgia.
Okay. And where in relation to this development is your address?
Several here today live at the cottages at Autumn Lake, which is about 1 mile further up Berwick Boulevard. Okay. So we would also be affected by the amount of apartments there. We do realize this has been approved already, but are concerned about the height variance as well, aesthetically, as well as we have already been talked about the green space, as well as traffic, as well as just the cohesiveness inside of the Berwick Boulevard.
Okay.
May I ask a question to the board or not? I was just wondering. I'll ask my question. If you don't want to answer, fine. I was wondering if any of you have been on the Berwick Boulevard.
I have.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So many of you do know that we enjoy, a tree-lined, I'm just going to kind of read from a letter that I had written, a cover letter, a tree-lined community where our neighbors share quiet, tree-lined residential street away from that commercial construction that is really bearing down on us from 17 Quacko Road, as you all know. Then I'm glad that you have been on the Berwick Boulevard, and just realize as you are on 17 in back of what is now the CVS there, they do have that description. And I'm sorry, I thought I had the picture on my phone of the actual height variance. I don't believe that this picture we're seeing with the lines is really representative of how additionally high, 56 feet is compared to, because they have on 17, many apartments and Quacko that are the additional 56 height, and it's significantly higher. And we are concerned. I'm concerned for my neighbors. I'm concerned for our community. That we are, is progress always cramming the most amount of people in the smallest amount of space? Is that what Savannah is going to become or is becoming? And so we are, as a neighborhood of Berwick, going into Southbridge, are very concerned about that. And I think we rightfully should be. And I believe the board should be as well. We would ask you now to consider the wishes of the residents who you'll hear from next to deny the variance. And that's all I really have to say on behalf of my community of Berwick. And I thank you for listening.
Does anyone have any questions of Ms. Lucas?
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I will ask of staff, the master plan regarding, you're reading my mind here.
So, yes, maybe this will be helpful for those wishing to speak where they fall in this master planned area. The commercial mentioned is the pink stuff there along 17, the dark brown, irregularly shaped parcel with the pond in the corner of it is the tract in question, right here.
Okay. All All right, leave that up for a second.
Okay.
When was this master plan approved?
It has been amended, as many of them have. The last amendment was 2023 to affect the apartment use. Circa 2019, 2020. They probably know better than I precisely when the congregate care center, have it written down, but that's when the first initial discussion of the cemetery came to pass, which is why that date sticks in my mind. Mm-hmm. I think she's probably right.
What was the comment?
2019. Yeah.
Any questions about this master plan? All right. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, would you like me to leave this up so people can orient you to where
this is? Yes, if you don't mind. Christian, is that?
Christopher,
all right. I can't read your handwriting.
Sorry about that.
Christopher, what's your last name?
Dolly.
Spell that.
D-O-L-L-E.
Okay. What's your address, sir?
36 Harvest Moon Drive.
All right. Would you raise your right hand for me, please? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you God?
I do.
Thank you.
I live in Village at Autumn Lake, which is about maybe half a mile from this particular site, further up Berwick. I think to separate the height restriction from population density is absurd. The only way you get your population density is by increasing the height. And, you know, if you had 20 foot height requirement, you'd have a much lower population density. So the argument to say, hey, this is just about height variance, it's absurd. This is about population density. And they want you to put as many houses in there as I guess the updated master plan allows. Who knows if this was the original master plan back when the church owned that property back as late as 2019. So now you want to cram 500 people into this area in 12 acres, 13 acres. And that's what this height variance is all about. It's about increasing the population density in that area. That's what it's about. It's not sight lines. Oh, that's a smokescreen. Hey, it looks good from here. It looks good from there. That's not what this is about. This is about is putting as many units in that area as they can fit. There's not very many communities, not very many apartment communities that have this density. I've driven around. I've looked at them. Populous and Pooler has a density of about 15 per acre. I think it's called Crossroads up there in Pooler. That has about 15 per acre. Fenwick at Olympus right near us, that's about 12 per acre. This is almost double all of those in a very residential single family home area. And they're pushing, more than pushing the limit to put 20 per acre in here by saying it's all about height variance. And that's absurd.
Any other comments?
I think that's enough.
Any questions from the board? Okay. Thank you, sir. Doug Messino.
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Messino, what is your address, please?
It's 226 Carlisle Way. That's Village is at Berwick.
All right.
Behind the church.
Would you raise your right hand, please? You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God.
I do.
Thank you. You have the floor, sir.
I'll keep my comments brief. We've been here since about 2007 and watched Berwick change a lot, mostly for the better. My concerns with the density of the people to be put in this area is the access and egress, just one. Anything that you do on Berwick Boulevard near the church is going to block that road. We've just gotten the road redone. We've had extensive construction and building all the time. We've been here since 07, finally enjoying a nice wide bicycle walking path, nice road, and unfortunately the traffic is getting a little bit busy with this prolongated construction, which will happen because of the supply chain issues everybody's going through, watching the construction of Hyundai out on Quaco and then what's going on out on 17. This is going to take a while. And so all of us will be the beneficiaries, if you will, of that traffic and the density. I have a concern about the fire, water. You're putting a lot of big buildings in here, and the fire department's undergoing a revitalization and taking care of a single-family dwelling, which with a maximum height of maybe 25, 30 feet, it's going to be totally different with dense people to rescue in a 56-foot building. So I don't like that idea at all. Finally, one of the things that concerns me is all of us pay amenity fees. We have very reasonable fees. I'm certainly not complaining about that. We get more than our dollar's worth. But as these come in, these people will not be paying amenities. And at this point, many of us volunteers are out cleaning the trail. Trees that fall on the pathways and or the road are usually pulled up by someone like us just because we don't want it to be blocked. And I don't see all these people being volunteers contributing to our community. So I appreciate the board, and thanks for letting me speak.
Any questions for Mr. Messina? All right. Thank you, sir. Bill Reed. Mr. Reed, what is your address, please?
I'm at 412 Stonebridge Circle, down at the corner of River Rock Road, about 100 yards, a couple of hundred yards away from this proposal.
All right. Raise your right hand for me, please. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to help God?
I do so swear.
Thank you. You have the floor.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said, I own the home at 412 Stonebridge Circle at the corner of River Rock Road, where I've lived for the past 12 years with my wife and son. I like it a lot. The Berwick Boulevard community and neighborhoods is a great place to live. I plan to stay there the rest of my life.
Okay.
It's a strategic location, convenient to many of the necessities of life. And we have military families, retirees, young couples acquiring their first decent home to raise their children. It's a great place to live, and I'll tell you something. At night, it's quiet. There's very little noise and light pollution. I would respectfully submit that the proposal of the petitioner is utterly incompatible with the existing neighborhood. The structure would tower above every single home in the vicinity and frown down upon the unfortunate residents. I seriously doubt that it will be concealed by a notional orchard of 60-foot tall trees. I also have it on pretty good authority that an altitude of 56 feet is not essential for a gable roof. I just want to touch on a couple of points and then swiftly close. The petitioner's property is situated in a spot that is crucial to the stormwater drainage of thousands of local residents. I can only hope and pray that this has been sufficiently explored and considered as we move into tropical cyclone season. The introduction of hundreds and hundreds of additional automobiles in this rather awkward spot is problematic. A short distance up the road, you have what is the de facto main entrance to Berwick Plaza, where there's a pedestrian crosswalk and motorists of varying skill levels are attempting to execute left-hand turns from all four points of the compass. There is, it is true, a left turn lane that goes from Berwick Boulevard into the Olympus development. But this is frequently mistaken for a high-speed passing lane. Short distance, another 100 yards up the road, you have the infamous intersection of Berwick Boulevard and Ogeechee Road, where backups are already not uncommon. And, of course, directly across the street, you have the Coastal Cathedral. Now, I would submit that simply by adhering to the existing height limitations, the traffic situation can be easily mitigated. Your learned and professional staff has already stated that the existing height limitations do not impose an unnecessary hardship on the petitioner. Ladies and gentlemen, I appeal to you not just as an aggrieved homeowner trying to defend his hearth and his way of life. I appeal to you as a citizen of Greater Chatham. Let's remain true to the concept of planned growth, of rational growth, of growth that does not gratuitously degrade the quality of life of the existing residents, nor impair their ability to enjoy the fruits of their property. Let the petitioner enjoy the fruits of his property, as is his right. But let him at long last do it under the existing rules. And I might add, in harmony with his neighbors. I humbly beseech you to deny the petition for variance. And I want to thank y'all for your patience. But most of all, I want to thank you very, very much for your public service.
Thank you, sir. Any questions?
We don't get very many thanks up here.
We appreciate you.
Or paychecks. All right. Thank you, sir. Steve.
Archer.
Yes, sir. If that's what that said.
It's printed. I'm sorry.
Okay. Spell your last name for me.
A-R-C-H-E-R.
Okay. Got it. All right. Raise your right hand for me, sir. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
And your address, please.
418 Stonebridge Circle.
Okay. Very good.
Which is in the Stonebridge subdivision.
You have the floor.
Thank you. At the outset, I'd like to thank you as well for your service. I realize that each one of you guys and ladies are volunteers. And this takes out of your daily lives, and your work. Some of you may be retired. I don't know, like I am. I am a retired attorney. I worked for the state of Georgia as an attorney for almost 30 years, and retired into basically the Stonebridge subdivision, where I've lived since 2006. When we first moved into Stonebridge, our subdivision was bounded on the south by a wooded area, which is the subject property, and to the west by the property across Berwick Boulevard by the property owned by Coastal Cathedral Church. Coastal Cathedral, at the time that we moved into our subdivision, also owned the parcel that is being discussed today. Initially, it was church property. It was not part of the Berwick POA because it was separate of the Berwick POA because of being a religious organization. It never has been in the POA. But since the time that I've lived in Stonebridge, that property has morphed from a early childhood development center property to now to a assisted living zoning, and now up to a multifamily zoning. The zoning now is multifamily. It is not apartment zoning. Apartments are included in multifamily, but that is not the sole use for that property. You could have condominiums in there. You could have townhomes in there. When this piece of property was purchased by the now owner, there was a 36-foot height requirement or limitation that the owner knowingly purchased that piece of property with that 36-foot limitation. Now, as our area is increasing in development, there are a number of apartment complexes being built along the Ogeechee Road corridor. If you know where the Kroger Shopping Center is, there's a new commercial area that's gone in there. And then the apartments that has been referred to earlier that have four stories and are of the dimensions that are being asked of you today to be allowed are all along that corridor. The only entrance to this piece of property is off of Berwick Boulevard. So when I, knowing this, when I read the staff report and see that the report describes the property as this: the subject property consists of one existing undeveloped parcel, approximately 12.12 acres in size. The parcel is on the northwest side of Ogeechee Road between Cottonvale Road and Berwick Boulevard. The zoning classification is PUD C, as is part of the Berwick Master Plan, which was approved in 2000. A mixed use plan development in West Chatham County. The master plan includes land use designation, but does not include height regulations. The zoning ordinance is what requires the height limitations. That is kind of a misleading description of the subject property. If I were writing it, I would describe it as this. The parcel is located on the southeast side of Berwick Boulevard. It is bounded on the north by Stonebridge Subdivision, a large community of single-family homes, and on the south by Stone Lake Townhouses, a moderately sized single-family townhome community. It is directly across the street from the southerly entrance exit to Coastal Cathedral Church. The sole access to said property will be from Berwick Boulevard at this location. There will be no access to Highway 17. It is not Ogeechee Boulevard. There is no access to Ogeechee Boulevard. This is not part of the Ogeechee Boulevard development. Berwick Boulevard runs in a northerly direction from its intersection with Ogeechee Road for approximately 2 miles, where its name changes to Southbridge Boulevard. As the roadway enters the Southbridge community, Bridge Boulevard continues to run in a northerly easterly direction for 5 miles until its intersection with Dean Forest Road. The speed limit on Berwick Boulevard is 35 miles per hour. The speed limit on South Bridge Boulevard is 25 miles per hour. Both are single lane roadways and service residents in a number of developments along the way. Those communities include South Bridge, Stone Bridge, the villages at Autumn Lake, Legacy Square, Stone Lake Townhomes, Glenwood Townhomes, Glenwood Grove, Olympus Fenwick Apartments, the villages at Berwick, the Enclave, and Chapel Park. No traffic study that I'm aware of has been conducted on how this will impact not only the traffic on Berwick Boulevard, Southbridge Boulevard, but regarding the evacuation plans of those communities in the event of a hurricane. And I meant, if I could just stop for a second, I meant to say one thing. Ms. Stone, you work with Patrick Shea, is that right?
I do.
Just so y'all are aware, my son and Patrick's son are in business together. And they may, whether or not they do business with y'all or with y'all's clients, I don't know. But I just, as transparency, I wanted y'all to be aware of that.
Great.
So in variance cases such as this, the presumption under our statute, our zoning ordinance, is that the applicant is not entitled to a variance. And what is being requested is not just a simple variance where you're wanting to place a storage building on the corner of your lot in violation of setback line or something like that. This is a substantial deviation of the height variance that all of the communities that I've just outlined for you have abided by over the years. It is a 20-foot variance in one case and a 10-foot variance in the other. And so when there's a discussion about the density of the property, the approved density of the property that was mentioned earlier, that is the density that you can build up to. It's a limitation on density. It does not require you to go to that density. It can be less. So what the effort here is not, it's misleading to think that the whole purpose of this variance is architectural. It may be a factor, but the main reason is density, to increase the buildings by at least one building from 3 stories to 4 stories. The traffic that will exit at that location between across Berwick Boulevard at Coastal Cathedral will be probably 200 and some odd cars. There'll be 500 new people living in a 12-acre piece of land, all of them exiting from one exit onto Berwick Boulevard. Nobody's done any kind of study to know whether or not it's going to require widening of the roadway, traffic lights, things like that. Our zoning regulations have a purpose, and y'all are aware of, well, this, I'm sure, but those are to establish standards for land development that will lessen and prevent congestion in the streets, help secure safety from fire, panic, and other dangers, promote the health and general welfare of the citizens of Chatham County, facilitate adequate provision of transportation, water, sewage, et cetera, promote desirable living conditions and the sustained stability of neighborhoods, conserve the value of buildings and land, encourage the most appropriate use of land. Is this the most appropriate use of that land? To build a multi-story apartment complex in a neighborhood that is surrounded by single family homes? When there are numerous apartment complexes being built all along the Highway 17 corridor. The last thing I'd like to say is the section 10.10-63 of the ordinance for requests for variance. The Board of Appeals may authorize upon appeal in specific cases such variance from the terms of these regulations as will not be contrary to the public interest. Where owing to special conditions, a literal enforcement of the provisions of these regulations will in an individual case result in unnecessary hardship, so that the spirit of these regulations will be observed, public safety and welfare secured, and substantial justice done. The variance may only be granted on four conditions, and these are not and or conditions. These are not one of the four or two of the four or three of the four, but all four. And they say the first one is there are extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to the particular piece of property in question because of its size, shape, or topography. Second, that the application of these regulations to this particular piece of property would create an unnecessary hardship. That such conditions are peculiar to the piece of property involved. And four, if relief, if granted, would not cause substantial detriment to the public good or impair the purposes and the intent of these regulations. What does the public good in this case require? It requires that I submit to you that you listen to the thousand some odd people who have voiced opposition to this from not just Stonebridge Subdivision, but Southbridge, from the Enclave, from Stone Lake Townhomes, and to say that they're not justified in that when there is a 25-foot buffer on their side of the property and Southbridge side of the property. That is only 50 feet. 25 feet is roughly from my chair to the chairman's chair. And so the trees that are portrayed in the tree survey are, we live in the South. Most of those trees are deciduous trees, which means that a good portion of the year, there are no leaves on them. So it's misleading to think that there is no, with all those windows facing 20 some odd homeowners' backyards, that you're not going to be able to see into their backyards, and an 8-foot privacy fence or 7-foot privacy fence is not going to protect them from that. Whereas they've been staring at a beautiful landscape back there for many years, they'll now be staring at a parking lot where people pulling cars into their parking lot and light shining into their windows and families on their porches and in their bedrooms staring into their windows. That tree survey is not worth the piece of paper it's printed on, at least on the side of Southbridge. So I would submit that the applicant has not met a burden, and by the own admission of the staff of the MPC, they've not carried the burden on all four of these issues that must be met in order to grant the variance. On issue one, regarding the size, shape, and topography, dimensionally the property is more compact than other properties or tracts in the vicinity. Yes, it is. It's 12 acres. Trying to cram a square hole into a round peg into a square hole that's too small. The site layout is driven significantly by the compact shape, which is also responsible for the final density. The staff finds no unnecessary hardship is caused by denying the variance. The staff concludes that the property is not peculiar to the point that it is undevelopable without the sought after variance. And finally, the staff concludes that a variance to the regulation in this case is not likely to impair the intent of the zoning ordinance. I disagree with that based upon all the things I've said previously. I would humbly ask y'all to consider that the homes in question, at least in Southbridge subdivision where I live, are probably the largest investments that these families will ever make in their life. This is just another development for the applicant. But these homes are paid for with a great price. And to think that when a real estate agent is showing these homes and they walk out into the backyard and you're staring at a building as described and portrayed by the site plan, which is not even really the site plan. I don't know if y'all noticed that. It's not really what it's going to look like. And it's going to change. But when those homes are being devalued because of that, and the rest of us try to sell our homes eventually, whether we live, I've been there for a long time and I intend to stay there a lot longer. But real estate agents look at comparables. And if you've got 20 homes devalued because of this, and those 20 homes are the ones that are selling because people don't want to live there, then it's going to devalue everyone else's homes too.
Okay. So a couple of minutes.
Thank you very much.
You're done? Nothing else? Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Archer? All right. Peter Trussell.
Can somebody change this to show the tree sightline thing?
Mr. Trussell, where's your address, please?
I live at 348 Stonebridge.
Okay. And would you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you very much. So first off, my name is Peter Sell. I'm a resident of Stonebridge. I would like to thank you guys for your thankless job. I happen to be a board member of our HOA, so I kind of understand the thankless part too well. Okay, so thanks again for doing your job. First off, I'd like to point out that I'm here not just speaking for myself, but for over 1,000 residents in the Berwick development. So in the package, you will receive petition signatures, both paper signatures that we actually sat in front of our pool building and gathered from residents of our neighborhood, but we also had a Google document that was sent out to the various neighborhoods in an effort to understand how many people were opposed to this development. So the final count, I believe, I'm sorry, I was watching the NHL Stanley Cup last night, but I believe it was 1,094 signatures opposed to that, okay? Which is a pretty significant number of people to, A, be interested enough in the development to take the time to sign the petitions, and B, to obviously oppose the petition for a variety of reasons. You've heard a lot of them already today about traffic issues, which are significant. When I first moved here in 2020, getting in and out of our neighborhood was pretty simple. Now it actually takes 2-3 minutes every time. And that's as a retiree who gets to leave whatever time of day he'd like. I wouldn't dare try to do it at rush hour. Okay. So it's become an issue in general. We've had some developments done along Ogeechee that other people have already talked about, including one, 4-story apartment complex that actually does back up to Stonebridge. And if you did really want to see, I wish I had taken a picture and sent it to you. I didn't. What happens with a 50-foot tree barrier and an apartment complex, you go to our neighborhood, see that part, and you realize that you will see the buildings. It's inevitable. It is pointed out in the fall, trees drop their leaves, and you will see every last bit of those buildings. So it's a fallacy to say that this 50-foot buffer zone is going to hide the buildings. And there was a comment made about the aesthetics of the building and needing to be 56 feet tall. If we're not going to see the building, why do we care what it looks like? So it doesn't make sense to say that on the one hand, the pitched roof is there so that it looks good, but on the other hand, we're not going to be able to see it. So which one is it? Will we be able to see it or will we not be able to see it? And I don't know if I can, sorry if I messed this up a little bit. There was in this picture here, I actually live in the house that's right about there. So I actually probably live closer than anybody that's present today. And I can tell you that that tree cover there is not sufficient to block the their view of my backyard or my view of their homes. Okay. And I've lived next to apartment complexes before. They tend to be noisier than single family homes. They tend to be busier because people come and go all day long. If we're talking about the Hyundai plant, you got people who will be coming and going if they're employed there all times of the day because different shifts and whatnot. So the people will see headlights. They'll see all these sort of things. And I recognize none of those things have anything to do but about our quality of life. The problem is that when you go from 36 feet to 56 feet, not only are you causing a privacy issue for the neighborhood, but you've also increased the number of apartments that are there. My understanding is I think that there's going to be 390-ish. No?
240.
No, no. Parking spaces. So there's going to be the potential for 300, almost 400 parking spaces in there. Coming and goings of all day long, that 50-foot buffer won't buffer us from the noise. It won't buffer us from their headlights at night. And clearly when the place is lit up, it won't be aesthetically as pleasing as it once was. Okay. Now, as has been pointed out by several people, I don't have to remind you of your job, okay? I'm sure you understand the qualifications of what you need to do and why you need to do it. And we recognize that the developer has a right to develop this property. We're not saying that they can't. But one of the key things in request in approving such a variance is that it's in keeping with the overall character of the area. And I would submit to you that a 56-foot tall apartment does not do that, nor does a 42 or 46, I'm not real clear anymore, garden building. So those don't in any way, shape, or form fit the aesthetics of the neighborhood. The other thing is that they keep talking about this 50-foot wide buffer. If you look at the actual property and where the entrance to this neighborhood is, because it's already cut in to the curbs off of Burr Boulevard, there is 10 feet worth of distance between the houses that are in the corner of our neighborhood there. So the houses that would be in this area right here is more like 10 feet away from that drive area there. So it's not 50 feet. In that instance, it's more like 10, 15 sort of feet. I know because I walk by it every single day. If you look at their picture, even using their own picture, you can see that the tree cover isn't as dense on the one side of the development as it is on the other. And I recognize some of that swampland and wetlands and whatnot on the one end, but it's our opinion that the aesthetics of this and the lack of tree cover will not cover the development. So in conclusion, I would just like to reiterate what everybody else has said, that myself and over 1,000 other people are against this variance and would ask you to deny it. Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Trussell?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Kathleen Andrews. Ms. Andrews, would you give me your address, please?
It's 108 Travertine Circle.
All right. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Help you God. Thank you. You have a floor.
Thank you. The property that we're discussing here today, Thornay Development Group, has been studying that. Excuse me. It's allergy season.
Can we get Ms. Andrews some water, please?
Thank you. For more than 5 years.
Just a second. All right.
Oh, thank you.
Take your time.
Thank you.
Welcome. When you are ready to proceed.
Thanks. I'm sorry to pick up. Over those 5 years, they've been well aware of the property size, the configuration, the 1 acre retention pond that sits on there, the topography, and the zoning, 36 feet. In 2019, they requested a PUD change, taking that from church to congregate care. This did not include a zoning height change. It still was 36 feet. Subsequently, the developer came back again with another variance request. This time it was to build a multifamily project, 240 units. There were no other variance changes requested at that time regarding height or density. Now the developers returned yet again. This time they're requesting a variance in the building height for the same 240 units. That wasn't increased. Even after years of knowing the zoning height and the site considerations. For 5 years, they continued to develop plans, knowing full well these conditions, and only now citing a hardship for these conditions. Even more egregious is the height request that they're asking for. The smaller building would go from 2 floors to 3 floors, 46 feet. That's already 10 feet over the zoning. And in actuality, the height is not a 3-story building because of the roof configuration. It's a 4-story structure. The larger building would become 57 feet. When you cross that 55-foot mark, you're now talking 5 stories, not 4. These buildings way, way exceed the zoning. They're going to soar over the residential community that surrounds them, both in height and in scale, especially with most of the units going to be congregated in one big building. There's no way to buffer them. You can't hide a 5-story building. The surrounding homeowners, they're going to be living in the shadow of these looming structures. They are going to not have a shred of privacy. You're not going to be able to sit on your patio, cook out with your family, play with your kids, because you're going to be on public display every time you walk out your door. Every time you walk out the door and look out your window, you're going to be confronted with this soaring building. Picture your own home and try and imagine what it would look like with a 5-story building sitting in the property adjacent to you. These homeowners, apart from the aesthetic of having that building there, as was mentioned, are going to be, they're going to be suffering as a result of this, and their properties are going to be devalued. And as the gentleman before me mentioned, that's probably the single biggest asset they have. The hardship would be to the surrounding community and the homeowners. The developer so far has been successful in moving this project from what initially was a church-designated property to a development that's going to dwarf the residential community that sits in the midst of. It will put a five-story high structure right in the middle of single-family homes and create a very hard, real hardship for the homeowners. There is nothing in that area at all for miles of that height. Right now, you're being asked to grant a variance, a big variance in height, more than 50% on the height. It's going to be sitting in the middle of single-family homes. It's going to be the tallest thing around for miles. Does that, anything about that sound like a good idea? I just cannot see how such a variance could be granted. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions of Ms. Andrews? Is there anyone on the phone this morning that would like to speak?
Oh, we do have Jay's Rosen.
Say that last name.
Jay's Rosen.
All right.
Can you hear us?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
State your name for the record and your address, please.
Hi, my name is Andrew Chase Rosen. I live at 4109 Fenwick Village Drive, where I have the privilege of being able to walk to grab food and do my shopping at the Kroger right across the street.
All right. Sir, do you swear to tell the truth, told truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do, yes.
All right, sir. You have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to support the variance because I think it's just a nicer product with the variance in place. I know some people are afraid that any development will lower the property value, so I just want to remind everyone that single-family homes near multifamily housing tends to rise in value more quickly than comparable single-family homes that are not. So while I think it's a sort of failure of our society that many families' greatest investment is their own shelter, I would like to congratulate my neighbors at Stone Lake and Stonebridge for being the closest, who will likely benefit the most from this. Traffic is a valid concern as well, especially where sprawling exclusionary neighborhoods like Southbridge exist. That's why I think it's important to actually promote density where land uses are mixed. Every resident who decides it's easier and more convenient to walk, or actually even when people do drive in this case, those are cars that won't even hit 17, which would have a lot of upstream effects for thousands of other residents in the region. The proximity to Berwick Marketplace, being less than a mile walking distance away, could actually reduce the traffic in the area. And I also just want to throw out there that I don't really spend my time gazing out my windows and into my neighbors, but thank you to the board for your time and for acting at your own discretion.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else on the phone?
No, sir.
Thank you. Before I close the evidence this morning, I'd like to ask staff to come back up and maybe the applicant as well and address some of these issues. Water and sewer, for instance. Heard some complaints about the possibility of water and sewer limitations. Can we address that?
They are not. Those are reviewed by the county agencies. If those burdens are not met, it doesn't go forward. It's not like there'll be unanswered questions. It's part of the review.
Fire and safety issues with the enhanced height, and Mr. Yellen, you're free to.
Again, another review department. Part of the review they're going under right now, fire is in fact one of the things changing their configuration, not as it relates to height, but as it relates to the building configuration and the entrance in and out of. I believe it's being discussed that there may be a second entrance with a locked gate. Remains to be seen. Like I said, I don't have a site plan to present you, or I would.
Understood. Okay. Any other questions of staff at this point?
No, sir.
None? All right. Any questions of the applicant this morning?
Sir,
we're okay.
And Mr. Chair, may I offer my rebuttal?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I just want to briefly, I know we've been here a long time on one petition, but we've heard some of the concerns. Obviously, we want to be able to address them as best we can. As mentioned, and as I stated, and as staff stated, this petition has nothing to do with density. We could fit the same number of units on this property by designing the buildings differently. Density is not a consideration here. This site plan or the concept plan was carefully considered. When we're talking about the buffers and the line of sight, as y'all can see very clearly, we could have pushed any of these buildings closer to our property line. We are intentionally putting them in the center of the site so as to minimize impacts on all adjacent properties. It's clearly why the tallest building is as far away as we can get from all adjacent properties. When homeowners are suggesting that there are not tall buildings in the vicinity, that is simply not true. The property over here is being constructed to a very similar height. Additionally, as to the master plan, I do want to be very clear that this is multifamily, and this site adjacent to us under the Berwick guidelines is also considered multifamily residential. These are the similar product types as it relates to the Berwick guidelines. The suggestion that we are coming in and we were full aware of the height limitations of the site, this is also a very unique site that it's within a planned unit development. And the planned unit developments are treated very differently than if this was a residential multifamily zoning in the rest of the county. There is some debate to be had whether there is even a height limitation on this site because the PUD text itself does not prescribe a height limitation. The 36 feet comes from the multifamily designation within the county. Most PUDs are governed by covenants that control the sites individually. Our site in particular does not have a height limitation upon it, and that's from the restrictive covenants that are in place from Berwick. There's no height limitation under the covenants. There are height limitations in other areas, but they are not present here. As it relates to access and traffic, there has in fact been a traffic study that has been circulated to the county for approval. The applicant will be working with the county on that to adhere to and to make any of the recommendations that come out of it. But to say that we haven't looked at traffic for the area is simply not true. That's part of the site plan review process. We are working through that process currently, but we obviously can't finalize that process until we know what the heights of our building is going to be. Fire and traffic engineering from Chatham County have given, you know, preliminary approval for this design and for this access, but the applicant remains committed to working with them on it. Lastly, as it relates to property values adjacent to multifamily development, I do want to thank the commenter who called in because I fully agree and have seen in reality that there is no diminution in property value when sites are located adjacent to multifamily. My own home is going to be adjacent to a 4 or 5 story unit with no buffers adjacent to it. It is not causing any impact on my quality of life or on my neighborhood, but we need multifamily housing. This is a good site for multifamily housing. This is a site that is approved for multifamily housing. What we are asking for and what has been recommended for approval by staff is a very limited height variance, similar to what you're seeing on the plan, which would only increase the two buildings to 56 feet and 46 feet, with the smaller townhomes within the current height parameters adjacent to the subdivisions and with large buffer areas adjacent to the remaining subdivisions. And so we would respectfully request your approval, as this variance has been approved on at least 5 other occasions in the vicinity, and as this approval is recommended for approval by staff. And so we thank you all for your time today.
Thank you. With that, I will close the evidence portion of this hearing and turn to my board. Is there any discussion this morning about this matter before we go to a vote?
Mr. Chairman, I have sat here and listened to both sides, and I think I certainly understand both sides. There's no question about what the evidence is. There's no question what the zoning is. There's no question. I mean, the only question we have is whether or not we're going to allow the height variance. I have voted in the past for some of those, and I have not voted for some in the past. And each time we do that, it is a separate vote. We're not grandfathered in. We don't grandfather, you know, every circumstance. Real estate is about the most personal thing that one can own. It's also the most, it's its own thing. Every piece of real estate is different. Every development is different. Every question that comes before us is different because it depends on where it's being put, what's around it, what the access is, a lot of factors. I'm not concerned about how many people are going to live in there or how many headlights are going to be in there. All the thing I'm concerned about is whether or not it's 56 feet tall and someone's living next door to it in a single family house. Now, I live in a single family house in the Landings. If someone wanted to build a five-story apartment building in the back of me, trust me, I would be in here complaining about it. And I'm sure most of us who live in single family houses would be doing that. I don't know. Mr. Yellen, I certainly understand your client's wish to, one, do away with flat roofs, which I think the bane are of most real estate existence. However, this is a rather unique situation. It is unique in that you are totally surrounded on three sides by what I would call single family homes, even though there's townhomes on the one side. So, Mr. Chairman, I cannot support in good conscience the variance request.
All right. Any other comments from board members?
Mr. Chairman, for clarity. So, as I understand Mr. Yellen's response of just moments ago, the issue is you have enough land mass in order to add the actual units, regardless of the height or not. Okay. So if I listen to the argument of the residents, and I guess there's anyone who could speak for residents. So if you still have the, would your argument be the same if they still have the same number of units, but without the height? Or would you still have issue with the number of units? Please.
Peter Sell again. Based on the fact that our petition was solely about the height variance and not whether or not a development happened at all, I'd say it's more important to us about the height than the development itself.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for your candor. Any other questions or comments from board? First, I'd like to say and thank you to the folks who have showed up to protest and oppose this development. We don't always see people who are engaged and invested in their property like this. And to mirror what Mr. Vineyard said, I would, thank you. Thank you for being here and opposing it. I'm concerned about the height as well. Please mute your phones, please. I think there are some things that could be done design-wise to make this a better fit for this particular lot. I do think it is a unique type of situation with respect to this particular lot. I will go out on a limb, as I have before, and to my superior county government, and so you're behind the eight ball here, and you're asking us to continually grant variances and not be proactive about development changes in our community. Clearly, we have a migration of folks who are coming looking for a better life, looking for better jobs, looking for a new way to live their lives. And, we're still operating under limited, restrictions. So to the extent that I have any power at all, which is very questionable, I would, send my message up the chain and up the ladder for someone to get off the dime and start looking at these issues more carefully. I don't think it's fair to this board to be continually asked or presented with variances time after time. And I'll leave it at that. And if that message can get to the right people, thank you very much. Any other comments from the board? Any questions? I'm wondering, would it be appropriate to perhaps bifurcate? We have essentially two issues here. We have the 46-foot garden story building variance request, and then there's the 56 issue. Would it be appropriate to bifurcate the two or consider them both as a whole? Any comments or for two votes rather than one?
Mr. Chairman, I would prefer to vote it as one.
Okay. So the preference among the board members is to vote the 46-foot variance request and the 56-foot variance request as one vote. So that being said, do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, after considering all of the testimony in this case, as you just said, we have had more citizen input at this meeting than I've had in the 4 years I have served on this board. And it's refreshing because all of us have a right to, in this country, thank God, to express our opinions openly and under oath. I would therefore move that we deny the variance.
We have a motion to deny the variances. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right. I have a second. Then by voice vote, all in favor of denial of the variances, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. So the variances, as I understand them, are denied at this point. And we will leave that back in Mr. Yellen and his client's hands to go back to the drawing board here and see what can be done. Okay. Thank you for everyone's participation in this matter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, on the second matter on our agenda this morning, we have 6 Amberley Court, a variance to a marsh buffer setback. Now, I understand, before we get started, the representative for the applicant is Mr. Wasson, I believe. And I have had the pleasure of representing Mr. Wasson's family on a number of occasions, and I have some active matters under consideration right now in my practice. So although I don't think it's a direct conflict, I'd rather recuse myself from participating in this vote just because of appearance purposes, okay? So with that, the chairman is going to recuse himself from this matter, and I will hand the gavel over to Mr. Vineyard as vice chairman, and I will step down from the roster.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Anna Broadmerkle-McQuarrie. I'm a staff planner here at the MPC. So for 6 Amberley Court, the petitioner is requesting a variance from Chatham County's 10-foot riparian buffer required by the Environmental Overlay Zoning District to construct a residential single-family structure on a vacant lot. The proposed home design only accounts for the required state riparian buffer of 25 feet. The property is approximately 0.16 acres and located within the PUDEO, Plan Unit Development Environmental Overlay Zoning District at 6 Amberley Court. So here we have an aerial photo of the site, and this is within the landings. Great. So here we have the site plan submitted by the applicant. So there are 2 lines highlighted in yellow, one here being the 25-foot buffer required by the state. This line here being the 35-foot buffer, so that additional 10 feet required by the Environmental Overlay District. You can see the site plan here extends out to that 25-foot buffer. Something else I'd like to point out are these 2 large oak trees, about 30 and 35 feet in width at the front of the property. Here again, we have the applicant submission of the first and second floor plan and the building section, just so you can view that. All right. So for a little bit of background, all properties in the environmental overlay or all properties built near marshland have the 25-foot riparian buffer required by the state, but the environmental overlay district requires that additional 10 feet for a total of 35-foot buffer. The petitioner, Fred Wasson, on behalf of the property owners, Lynn and Don Howe, requested to eliminate Chatham County's 10-foot buffer. This marsh jurisdictional line was established April 22nd, 2024, as located again behind the parcel. You saw the proposed home design, and so it has a footprint of a little over 3,000 square feet, extends into that 10-foot additionally required buffer. So previous owners of this parcel, Jill and Bob Colby, were previously granted a 10-foot variance from the Chatham County EO Zoning District buffer in 2021. Previous staff recommended approval based on lot size and lack of perceived harm to the intent of the zoning ordinance, despite the staff report saying no hardship is created by the application of the standards of the relevant sections of the zoning ordinance. The proposed design of a single-family residence could be designed to meet the county's 35-foot minimum marshland buffer setback requirement. Current staff performed further investigation into this petitioner's request and claims, the intent of the environmental overlay, zoning district, and environmental conditions. So this parcel is 0.155 acres or 0.16 acres. We've already gone over the zoning districts. It's part of the landing subdivision and is what is considered a patio lot. The petitioner stated in the application that the other homeowners on either side of 6 Amberley Court do not meet the 35-foot buffer. They don't believe this sets a precedent. However, they believe that they should be able to also only meet the 25-foot buffer, and the floor elevations would be so this house plan will have a higher finished floor due to the current 3-foot free board requirement. So I wanted to just point out here in this map, you can see that along Amberley Court, the properties surrounding were built in the 1980s. The adjacent property directly beside it is approximately the same exact size. Along Amberley Court, there are actually smaller properties than 6 Amberley Court here that would be subject or that are along the marsh as well. So this is not abnormal in size. And again, those that were previously built were in the 1980s, approximately. So I have here the Landings Association Architectural Design and Development Guidelines as published in April 2022. Most of this is to say that the minimum condition space living areas for a two-story home is 2,300 square feet, with the maximum permitted condition space living areas being 2,900 square feet. And so, again, the petitioner stated in their application that the hardship is created by not allowing them to meet the 25-foot buffer due to the patio lot with a 10-foot rear setback. As we could see on the attached site plan, it's not a large home. It's very typical patio home footprint. The fact that this site plan is very typical and a compact design and still will not fit in the 35-foot buffer is the hardship. And so relying on the Landings architectural guidelines, the proposed home design has a footprint of 3,032 square feet, almost 45% lot coverage, and a total heated area of 2,842 square feet. The design is 58 square feet from the maximum condition area allowed, and staff believe that it can be reduced in size while still meeting the minimum of 2,300 square feet for a two-story patio home in the Landings. This parcel lies within flood zones AE and X. So you can see here this back half, just to note why the flood zone is being considered here. Further, the petitioner stated in this application that the approval would not affect the flood insurance rate for Chatham County since the 35-foot buffer requirement is already in place. The house placed 10 feet closer to the marsh is not going to adversely affect the health of the marsh as this meets the DNR requirements, and they are the experts on the matter. So I want to reiterate that this petition is regarding the Environmental Overlay District, which has the intent to establish supplemental standards to bolster those currently in Chatham County zoning ordinance in order to protect and enhance community character, provide for safe and orderly development, and protect environmental quality, especially the estuarine system that surrounds the community. Further, the 35-foot riparian buffer, as measured from the Department of Natural Resources jurisdictional marshland as established by the Coastal Resources Division, in accordance with the Coastal Marshlands Protection Act of 1970, is required. The CMPA declares the following. I won't read this whole text block, but that the marshlands are essential to maintain the health, safety, and welfare of all citizens of the state. And then in number three, that protecting marshlands is vital to protect the public interest. And so the Chatham County Ordinance Environmental Overlay District intent is more aligned with the CMPA than Georgia Code 1276, which focuses on the control of soil erosion and sedimentation that requires a 25-foot riparian buffer. So protecting the marsh and waterways from soil erosion and sedimentation is critical to maintaining healthy wetlands. However, the CMPA recognizes marshlands as essential to maintain the health, safety, and welfare of all citizens of the state. So I just wanted to go further into the environmental conditions of this site. And so climate change is expected to change our coastal landscape in many ways. Skidaway Island, along with other coastal areas in the county, will face increasing levels of sea level rise by mid-century. This property backs into a salt marsh, which is expected to be inundated with water as sea level rises to an expected 1 foot by 2040 and 1.6 to 2 feet by 2060. Salt marshes are dynamic. They are not static. They are living ecosystems. And they are expected to migrate upland as the water rises. There's expected to be a loss of natural flood protection to properties if the marsh is unable to migrate, causing a phenomenon known as coastal squeeze. Development decisions require thoughtful consideration of future conditions, as opposed to solely relying on historical development patterns and current environmental conditions. And so actually the vegetative buffers in the coastal zone report was written for the Georgia Department of Natural Resources Coastal Resource Division and describes the benefits of salt marshes and buffers in coastal Georgia. These excerpts below describe the benefits of salt marshes and impacts of marsh migration, such as coastal squeeze. These buffer areas are critical to protect both the environment and property owners. All right, and so I won't read again this whole thing, but it is here for you. But wetland buffers maintain and protect the forest vegetative connections between wetlands and upland areas while preserving wetland ecological function. In addition to protecting wetlands, these buffers perform many of the same beneficial services as the wetland itself. In marshes, this includes slowing and spreading out stormwater runoff, filtering sediment, nutrients and pollution, stabilizing the shoreline and preventing erosion, providing wildlife habitat and moderating flooding from storm surges. Buffers adjacent to tidal marshes also provide potential migration space for areas affected by sea level rise, such as coastal squeeze. So we have here just a photo from the Georgia Conservancy of what I mean when I say marsh migration. They're moving upland. And so in this first panel, you see where there's marsh loss and there's nothing in the way. There's a marsh migration pathway. So you have that flood protection. It also shows, you know, what happens if there's a bulkhead or a living shoreline, essentially if there is no room for the marsh to migrate. So going over the variance criteria, are there extraordinary and exceptional conditions? No. This is not different in size, shape, or topography. Again, there are many lots similar in size and shape along Amberley Court. Application of this chapter would create an unnecessary hardship. We do not believe that it creates an unnecessary hardship. The landings is a PUD, and homes are subject to a distinct set of architectural design and development guidelines. Staff believe that a home can still be built to these standards while respecting the environmental overlay buffer requirements. Such conditions are peculiar to the particular piece of property involved. So according to Plan 2040, Chatham County and City of Savannah's comprehensive plan, there are approximately 228 square miles of wetlands in Chatham County, not unique or special hardship because much of the county must consider wetlands for developmental purposes. Relief, if granted, would not cause some substantial detriment to the public good or impair the purposes of the intent of the Chatham County zoning ordinance. So we've gone over the intent of the environmental overlay district. And one of those intents is to protect environmental quality, especially the estuarine system that surrounds the community, and also to provide for safe and orderly development. Protecting the function and value of a coastal marshlands is important to the part of the public interest. The parcel abuts salt marshes that provide valuable protection against flooding on Skidaway Island. If the variance is granted, wetlands will be less likely to protect this parcel and those around it from environmental hazards. So based on this, staff recommend denial. And additional note, we do have Mr. Jefferson Kirkland here with Chatham County to discuss a little bit more about the marsh jurisdictional line.
Ma'am, when was the additional 10-foot restriction added?
2010.
Okay. So long after the homes on either side of this one.
More than two decades.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the board?
Yes. So if I understand you correctly, this resident can be built as designed without impeding on the marsh. Is that correct?
Staff believe that the design would have to be changed, however, could still meet the landing's architectural guidelines. So they're almost at the maximum allowed of conditioned area, whereas the minimum is 2,300 square feet, and they're less than 60 feet away from the maximum of 2,900
square
feet. Any other questions? No. Thank you. Sir?
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. I'm Jefferson Kirkland, Chatham County Environmental Program Manager.
The one thing I wanted to mention here, it's a bit of a hiccup in paperwork that can be easily resolved. On this particular property, I was approached in 2019 by, I believe, a previous owner to issue a state waters determination and buffer determination. At that time, I issued a determination that no state waters buffer was required on this property due to the fact that a state waters buffer of 25 feet would impede more than 18% of the upland of the buildable area. However, that little, and technically a letter should be reissued for the current petitioner, as that those letters are only good for 1 year. I don't anticipate site conditions to have changed substantially, so I think the determination will stand today as it did in 2019. Furthermore, I don't think that should that site conditions will change the opinion of staff as they have described the site and conditions in the staff report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? The board? Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is that all from staff? Okay. Who is here for the petition?
I am Donald Howe. My wife, Lynn, and I are the owners of the property.
Mr. Howe, would you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the self of God?
I do.
Okay. Thank you.
What, was there an overhead available? I understood there was because I have hard copy drawings is what I had. No.
We don't have an overhead.
All right. Okay, my wife and I have lived in the Savannah area for 36 years, and we purchased this property last December with the intent of building our retirement home there. As the staff has discussed, this is a marsh front patio lot in the Landings. The plat was dated 1980, and the houses on either side were built in the mid-80s. Patio lots by design are small and just barely above the minimum of the zoning district. This lot is 60 feet wide and has an average front to back depth of 113 feet. The marsh jurisdictional line was flagged by DNR 2 months ago. It's outside the property line by 10 or 11 feet, which means the 25 foot state buffer comes inside the property line by 15 feet and I think is 12% of the lot. The 35 foot Chatham County buffer comes inside the lot by about 25 feet. And that buffer totals about 22% of the total lot area. The elevation at the DNR flag marsh jurisdictional line is between 4 and 5 feet above sea level. And the average elevation in the within the 10-foot buffer extension is 7.5 feet, so about 3 feet above the edge of the marsh. Our plan in purchasing this lot and designing a retirement home where we can age in place has been to build a completely conventional patio home that blends in with the neighboring homes and completely complies with the Landings architectural guidelines for lots on this street. That's the lot on that's the first floor of the house that you see in the site plan. Landings guidelines allow 23 to 2900 total square feet with up to 2200 on the first floor, and this first floor is 1900. The total living space is 2840. It's 1.5-story house, 50-foot width. The main living area is on the first floor, up a few steps, but not a whole flight. That was important to us. The master bedroom is also on the first floor. There's two additional bedrooms upstairs. There's a two-car garage with a golf cart space, and then there is parking for two cars in the driveway that are off the street and outside the garage. We looked at quite a few other patio homes in the Landings, both in person and online before purchasing, and this is the most common basic arrangement, entirely typical patio home. Other considerations guiding our design were to preserve as many trees as possible. The two that are highlighted on this site plan were of primary importance, and also to take advantage of the marsh view as much as possible. We also want to maintain as much privacy as we can, despite the small lot size and the close proximity of the neighbors' homes. As designed, the back of the house facing the marsh is in line with the neighboring houses on either side. On the front, the garage is just barely within the front setback, and the driveway is just long enough to park two cars. This is pretty typical of patio lots along this stretch of the landings. They span almost all the way from the 25-foot marsh buffer to the front setback. We received preliminary design approval from the Landings Architectural Review Committee on June 6th. The design was submitted to the ARC as pending the county buffer variance that we're asking for today. As the staff mentioned, while this lot was previously owned by the owners of the adjacent property at 5 Amberley Court from the mid-80s until 2021, in May of 2021, the lot was sold to another owner who designed a home intended to build, and that owner received a variance from this board in November of 2021, similar to what we're asking for today, a 10-foot variance of the 35-foot buffer, thus matching the state buffer. That previous owner had a subsequent change of plans leading to our purchase of the lot this past December. Though recognizing the prior variance does not guarantee that we're going to receive the same thing, the approval just 2 years prior led us to the expectation that if we designed a less intrusive encroachment into the buffer, we would be likely to obtain a variance. The plan encroaches on the buffer on the left side. This, the room on the very left of that is part of the first floor. It totals about 150 square feet. And the part in the center of the house, the other part that encroaches the buffer, is the porch. The porch will be supported on piers and will be otherwise open underneath. The first floor of the house will be built on a vented crawl space. The previous owner's approved variance encroached across the entire 50-foot width of the lot, totaling some 430 feet in the buffer. Their house and porch were to be built on a slab at 12 feet above sea level, which would have required something like 70 cubic yards of fill in the buffer encroachment alone. As I stated, with the encroachment, the back of our house lines up closely with the neighbors on either side. These houses, as well as most of the marsh front houses in the landings, have been built to the 25-foot buffer established by the state in the 70s. Lining up the houses with the neighbors in this way improves the view and privacy of both our home and the neighbors. With the houses lined up across the back, you really don't see the neighbors' houses from the back of your house. But if you back your house up 10 feet from what theirs are, then your view is restricted and you see more of their house, compromising everyone's privacy. We feel like we successfully designed a much less intrusive encroachment that was approved by the board 2 years ago. I appreciate the concerns that have been raised by the staff about climate change and sea level rise and the need to move the county towards a more sustainable future. I understand that marsh migration is a part of that. But in reality, the eventual resilience of Skidaway Island to the effects of sea level rise was set in place with the development decisions made in the 1970s and 80s. While today we might wish those decisions had been more environmentally stringent, in reality they were pretty far ahead of their time. The extensive tree cover, the ample green space, and the lack of personal docks and seawalls put Skidaway Island in a much more favorable position than much of the other areas along the coast. Today, the landings is over 97% built out. As of the first of the year, this was one of 103 out of 4,420 homes in the landings that have not been built. Changing the standards for the last few marshfront home sites is not going to significantly change the effects of sea level rise on Skidaway Island. This small additional buffer will never be anything other than an isolated extension, not shared across the already developed adjoining properties. The staff report states that development decisions require thoughtful consideration of future conditions as opposed to solely relying on historical development patterns and current environmental conditions. If this were a new development, I would agree completely provide additional marsh buffer. But this is not a new development. And just as historical development patterns cannot be relied on solely, they shouldn't be ignored either. Those development decisions establish the area's future resilience, and changing the buffer criteria for the last few lots is not going to change that future. Future marsh migration could be improved by large contiguous areas of additional buffer, but a few small isolated pockets is not going to make a meaningful difference. Finally, turning to the board's criteria for granting variances, and I'm going to take the extraordinary and exceptional conditions and the peculiar to the piece of property together. As we have seen, this design is an entirely conventional patio home, nothing extraordinary. What is unique to patio homes compared to many other properties in the county is that they're really intended to be a given side house on a minimal lot. The landing's architectural guidelines for these houses are very specific, and the lot size is just enough to fit that size of house. This is one of the last few unbuilt marshfront lots in the landings. As the staff report pointed out, they are all essentially the same size. Taking away another 10 to 15% of the buildable length of the lot, unanticipated at the time the lots were planned and platted, and which was not done for the adjacent lots, would be peculiar to this particular property. Just to build a smaller house is a quick and easy answer. But is that really the intent of zoning, to change the criteria for the last few home sites and force a lower value home to be built? Turning to the clause on hardship, there's not room to move the house forward on the lot and both protect the oak trees and have a functional driveway. There's also not a way to take 10 feet of length out of the house and still have a reasonable floor plan. Without the variance, the floor plan will need a significant redesign and will most likely result in a less desirable home impacting the future value of the property. A determination of hardship is fundamentally subjective, but it is definitely a negative impact to us. If this isolated bit of additional buffer does not substantially benefit the overall health of the marsh, then it would seem unnecessary as well. And finally, the last paragraph, relief if granted would not cause substantial detriment to the public good or the zoning. The purpose of the environmental overlay district is to establish supplemental standards to protect and enhance community character, provide safe and orderly development, and protect the environmental quality. Protecting and enhancing the community character and continuing orderly development is exactly what we're trying to do with this design. Building a house that is similar in design, placing it according to standard practices of aligning with the neighboring houses front and back, would seem to be the definition of orderly development. Although the house design does encroach the buffer, we've intentionally designed it to be a minimal encroachment while maintaining consistency with the neighborhood that was developed prior to the buffer extension. This alignment of houses is to everyone's benefit, enhancing the view and maintaining privacy despite the small lot sizes. As for environmental quality, again, if this were a new development, I would agree, push everybody back. But then you have to account for that in the layout of the properties of the intended homes, so the intended homes can still be built. This design has received preliminary design approval from the Landings Architectural Committee, whose purpose is to maintain community character of the landings, and which they take very seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Mr. Howell? Okay. Thank you, sir. Ms. Mallory? Ma'am, would you state your name and address, please?
Mary Morey, M-O-W-R-Y.
Okay.
7 Amberley Court.
So you're a next door neighbor?
Yes.
Okay. I'm familiar with this area, ma'am, uh-huh. So I walked it on Sunday from one end of the lot to the other. So would you please raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help God?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. It's my understanding that the landings policy has been to align new houses with pre-existing houses. And in fact, that was done as reported by the new owner previously. A variance was granted and that owner did not go ahead and build the house. So we were surprised to learn that this might be denied. And it seems that that's a reasonable policy. As said, our houses were built back in the 80s, and we can see no harm to granting this variance. And I agree with what was stated by the new owner.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Okay, thank you. Mr. Carter? Carter, would you state your name and address, please?
Les Carter, 7 Amberley Court.
Okay, Mr. Carter, would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay, please.
I'm a native Savannian, and I've lived almost 20 years next door to the lot in question. I've been through 2 hurricanes. I think they were Matthew and Irma. I know the property well, and I'm very environmentally conscious. Some people would probably call me a tree hugger. If the variance is granted, it will enable the owners to line up the rear of their house with my wife's and my house and the house on the other side of the lot. A variance isn't going to have a negative effect on the marsh. Drainage of the lot is to the marsh. And building 10 foot closer could actually decrease the amount of silt and natural debris making it to the marsh. As previously said, I'm very environmentally conscious. I would be one of the first to object if thinking granting the variance would be environmentally problematic. I adamantly support approval of this 10-foot variance.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Sir? Staff, were there any letters or anything? Opposed or for?
I did not receive any, no.
Okay, is there anyone online? Okay. The evidence is closed. I'm not under oath here, but I make it a point, as we all do, of going and visiting parcels that are within our neighborhood. And the Landings is my home. So I actually spent much of Sunday afternoon walking this lot. Initially, I must say that I am usually opposed to these variances because we all on that island are concerned about climate change and global warming, if there is such a thing. So I went over there to look, and the first thing that concerned me or that I saw was the fact that the houses on both sides were going to be exactly the same area from the marsh as this house is proposed. I mean, they all lined up. If it had been some other way, maybe I would have a different frame of mind, but This lot is relatively narrow. And in order to fit a livable house on this, I think, really no way other than you maybe grant the variance. What sort of has tipped my own feeling in this is that it was granted before, and probably I was sitting here in 2019. I think I was. So I will turn it over to my colleagues, and if anyone else has any opinion or wants to make a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that a variance be allowed for this residence. So in that regard, we're saying we don't want to deny. We're saying that that a variance be granted.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? By voice vote, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Nay. So the vote is unanimous. Mr. Corsi, you may have your seat back.
Is there any other business to be taken up this morning?
Bring none, we are adjourned.